42. Psalm 142. Preacher, how do I find the book of Psalms? Just start going through your Bible. You'll find it. It's the biggest book in the Bible. It's the book of Psalms. So just kind of, if you got the cheaters, you know, if you got the cheaters on your Bible, you know, those little things they carve out. Yeah, if you got those, sign the book of Psalms 142. I want to say a couple of things. Number one, thank you to the choir. I mean that. I do.
Amen.
The choir's been faithful.
Amen.
The week after Thanksgiving, I was at a church in Atlanta running 600. During revival, no choir. I said, preacher, where's the choir? He said, oh, Brother Mark. He said, some people drive 10, 15 miles to get here. He said, it's just asking too much to ask the choir to come every night. I had to bite my tongue. I did. The truth is, he had performers and not servants.
Amen.
There are plenty of performers in the church, but thank God for servants. People have been here every night they could and add so much to the music. We certainly appreciate that a great, great deal. Then, of course, you already know what the messages are the next two nights. Evangelistic messages, but there'll be something for you as a Christian. But tonight, you know, I played basketball in college, probably because nobody else wanted to play. You know, I played 4 years of varsity ball, and we were okay. I heard guys lie about their athletic ability, and I saw them play. And it's not true. I was okay, okay? Usually 10 guys in a basketball team, I was usually number 8 somewhere in there. But I love the game. I played because I love the game, okay? Here's the key. Every game, halftime. Coach got us there. Tried to recharge us. Tried to get us ready to attack. You know, get out there and do something. That's what the night's about. The meeting's over halfway over. If we're going to do anything, we got two nights left. Look in your Bible. Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried to the Lord with my voice unto the Lord. Did I make my supplication? I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then I knewest my path. And the way wherein I have walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man careth for my soul. I cried to thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Tender to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for the bountifully, bountifully with me. I'm a boy growing up. My mom and I had kind of a routine we go through. Get up in the morning, get your bath, go in the living room and get on the couch on our knees and look out the window. We all out there every day, we'd look out the window. Mom would give me instructions what to do. I got home from school that night. I'm guessing it was probably maybe February, cold outside, snowing, windy. But then I was on the couch on our knees, looking out the window. We saw someone coming down the street. Her name was Susan Stuckey. She was home on leave from the Wax Women's Air Corps. I still remember, had her blue-gray cap, her long blue-gray coat. When you walked by, her hands were like this. And they said, Mom, I wonder where Susan's going. Next to our house, my grandfather's house, then a cemetery, then miles and miles and miles of nothing except farmland. 2 hours later, my papa worked at the cemetery. He found Susan Stuckey. So he'd opened up that coat, and he would have found her father's sawed-off shotgun. Apparently, she was depressed, discouraged what happened with the cemetery, got under the water tower, put both barrels in her mouth, cocked both hammers, pulled both triggers simultaneously, and committed suicide. That morning, she walked by our house just a few seconds from the gates of heaven, probably just a few minutes from the gates of hell, but in a sense, she was going to hell unnoticed. That's what the psalmist said. Look in your Bible, please, at verse number 4. I looked on my right hand, beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man careth for my soul. So my doctor cares about my health. My dentist cares about my teeth. Banker cares about my finances. He said, nobody cares about my soul. He said, I'm going to hell unnoticed. Number one, first of all, my friend, there's an omission implied. An omission implied. Be honest. He could say, no man cares for my soul. What's up? He could not say that God did not care for his soul. How do we know God cares? That great verse in the Bible, God so loved the world, He gave his only begotten Son, Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, how low you've gone, my friend, God loves you tonight as much as he did 2,000 years ago when Christ hung on Calvary and died for your sin. Understand that. God loves you tonight, my friend. God wants to save you tonight, and he can save you if you'll come to him. Understand that, my friend. Get a grip on that thing. God cares for people. That's why Christ died, because God cares for people. That's why we preach the Bible, because this church cares for people. Hey, the question is, do you care for people? Do you really care? Is it all just academic? It's all like a big fairy tale. Oh, yes, we've heard 100 times. Unsaved people die. They go to hell. We Christians live happily ever. Wake up. God, do something in our life tonight. God, help us to get the Bible off the pages in our heart and our lives and give us vision in our eyes to reach out to a lost and dying world and try to do something about it. See, you say, I'm saved. Thank God you are. But it shouldn't end there. You should get out there and work to get somebody else saved. Again, I'll put it to you after the other night. Thessalonians, our gospel came. They heard the gospel. Number two, you became, thank God, heard the gospel. They got saved. God didn't put a period there. He said, from you sound it out. What does that mean? Sound it out means they told somebody something. And they told them the gospel. And somebody else got saved. Let me ask you, since you've been saved, how many folk have you led to Christ? How many? My friend, the change should not have stopped when you got saved. The gospel should flow through our lives, through our lips, through our actions, through our reactions, and touch somebody else for his glory. Years ago, I was in Minneapolis, and had a day off, so I went out to a very exclusive mall. I walked in a very exclusive store. It's called Saks Fifth Avenue. Now, I'm going to confess my faults one to another. When I go to a store like Saks Fifth Avenue, I go in there for one reason, okay? I go in there to covet. I can't afford a thing, buddy, but I go in there to covet. I do that, and I'll go downstairs. Look at this. I'm walking toward the shirts and ties. A lovely young black lady went by. Hey, I said, how you doing? Oh, man. If looks would freeze, I was frosty. I'll tell you that right now. She said, satisfactorily, thank you, and kept going. Okay. Those were shirts and ties. Pretty soon, heard a voice said, sir, I turned around, there was that lady. She said, why did you ask me if I was having a good day? I said, life's too short to go through life, oh, hum and hum drum. I said, life should be exciting. Life should be thrilling. She said, sir, my life is wretched and rotten and miserable. Young lady, I said, I think you can change all that if you'll let me. I tell you his name. His name is Jesus Christ. He said, I've come. You might have life. You might have it more abundantly. I said, here's your problem, man. You're existing. God wants you to be living. She said, don't give me that. Go ahead. So I've been that religious route before. She said, it doesn't work for me. I said, ma'am, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a living person that can do something in your life and change your life. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. She said, are you in a hurry? I said, no, I'm not in a hurry. She said, okay, let's do this. I'll go over here and get behind the sweater counter. You stand on the other side and tell me what you want to tell me. That's the deal, okay? I told her the gospel. She was a sinner. Because of her sin, she's heading for hell. In spite of that, when Christ died on the cross, he loved her. He loved her more than anybody else had or would on the cross. He paid for her sin. She'd accept him. He'd save her right there in that store. She said, now what are you going to do? She said, boy, I sure need that. I said, no. Forgive me. You don't need that. You need him. I'm big on that. I am. We have people going for that. That can't do anything. Thank God. He can. He's mighty to save. I said, behind that counter, you want to accept Christ? She started crying. She said, sir, you're right. I'm sorry, but I need him. We prayed, and she got saved right there. You see, I hear this garbage. Nobody wants to get saved. You know who says that? People never try to get anybody saved. They make a liar out of Jesus. Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers, not the officers, the laborers, not the choir members, the laborers are few. My friend, I wake up, you're the only person probably between somebody and hell. Today in America, the Christian crowd gets smaller and smaller. You may be the only person between that neighbor, that co-worker, that friend, that relative in hell. If you fail, there's nobody behind you. Their blood will be on their hands. What an awesome responsibility. Number one, first of all, there's omission implied. Number two, I like this. A commission that was ignored. Look at your Bible again at verse 41. I looked on my right hand and beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man careth for my soul. Now, I'm talking about, my friend, a commission that was ignored. What is a commission? You know what it is? The Great Commission. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end, technically, the end of the age. Here's what Christ said. Here is my plan. Here is my program. It is not to be replaced. It is not to be repealed. God said, my plan is this. Hey, if you're saved, tell somebody else how to get saved. First of all, my friend, the Great Commission is unending. The Great Commission has no expiration date. What did Christ say? Even unto the end of the world. Here's what it is again. Christ said, as long as the world exists, here's my plan. Just get out there. It's not dispensational. It's forever. Get out there and open your mouth and tell somebody how to get saved. See, I've heard all the excuses. I've heard them all. But, oh man, sad. I belonged to a church one time. Great church. Sunday morning, 1,300 people, folks saved. Sunday night, about 700 people. Wednesday night, 700 people. Every service, folks down the aisle. Now, watch what happened. Watch what happened. Things stopped happening. I was praying to the pastor. I said, boy, I said, nothing's happening. I said, how's this? He said, we quit soul winning. It doesn't work. Now, wait a minute. Two things. Number one, it does work. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, don't make God a liar, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Soul winning still works. But number two, suppose it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, you still do it. Why? Because God commanded. It is not the great suggestion, it's the great commandment, friend. And if you're not involved in that, there's something wrong in your Christian life. The Great Commandment. Many years ago, I was out here in the Wild West, and I closed a meeting down in Laurel, Montana. I had 2 days to get to Cody, Wyoming, okay? Hey, I thought, here's my chance, okay? Never been there. I'm going through Yellowstone Park, okay? I thought, man, I'm going through Yellowstone Park and see the animals. Now, sometimes when I come to church, I see the animals, but I thought, you know, I'll go through the park and see the animals. I pull over the gate, and there is Ranger Rick. I give him my $2. He gives me all this literature. He said, now, sir, whatever you do, he said, avoid the buffalo. Stay away from the buffalo. Don't startle the buffalo. He said, so far this summer, the buffalo have attacked and gored, I think he said, 14 people. Seven of them had died. For some reason, he said, the buffalo are on edge. Just stay away from the buffalo. I said, okay. So I'm driving through the park, kind of looking. The road, right back then, the road was really narrow. All of a sudden, a guy pulls up behind me, honks his horn. He went by. I pull over. The guy goes around me, pulls in front of me, and slows down. When he did that, on the back of his car, he had two words. On this side, big, big bumper sticker. It says, honk if you love Jesus. Talking about hypocrisy and filth. Over here, honk if you love Jesus. On this side, a filthy, dirty, rotten four-letter word. Ford. I can't believe a Christian be saved and have a big four-letter word on the back of his car. That's not a good testimony. Okay. Wait, maybe the guy slows down. What do I go around him? He speeds up. We're playing leapfrog. He's in first place. We come to a stop sign. He stops. I pull up behind him. I stop. I look down this way. It's all clear. I look down this way. Here comes a big buffalo walking right down the middle of the road. Now, I know my friend up there is going to stop and watch that buffalo go by. That's okay. I want to see the buffalo. But I looked down and saw that bumper sticker. Honk if you love Jesus. Please, can I tell you something? Every step that buffalo took, my love for Jesus, it just grew and grew and grew and grew. And I was tempted to lean on the horn and holler and yell and watch that buffalo rip that junk to pieces. But somehow, the restraining ministry, the Holy Spirit, kept my hands off the horn and the buffalo walked on by. Honk if you love Jesus. I read sometime, they printed 13 million bumper stickers that said, honk if you love Jesus. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. That's not important. How do you folks say, Brother Mark, I'll tell you what. One day I was walking down the street. A guy drove by, honked his horn. When he honked his horn, I knew I was lost on the way to hell. I knew Jesus died for me. Said, Brother Mark, when that guy honked his horn, I stopped on the sidewalk and asked Christ to be my Savior. Now, if you got saved because somebody honked your horn, I want to know about it, okay? If a horn honker led you to Christ, I want to see you. Come on. Don't move me. Let me see. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? A great soul winning church like this, nobody got saved because of a horn honker. Okay, question number two. How many folks will say, preacher, I got saved one day? You know why? A coworker cared. Mom or dad cared. A preacher cared. Preacher, I got saved one day because somebody cared for my soul. Get that hand in. Let me come on. Get that hand. Let me see. Hey, that is God's plan still works. Understand that. We don't need a new plan, buddy. We just need the courage and the anointing to take the old plan and rob hell of people heading there. But my friend, it's going to happen when you and I get serious about this business of soul winning, and we get serious and realize the Great Commission is in vital right now, as it was when Christ stood on the mountain and gave the Great Commission. It's as vital right now as it was then. Christ doesn't double talk. It's our responsibility to share the gospel. Number one, the Great Commission was unending. Number two, the Great Commission was universal. What do you say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to nice, middle-class people you think might have a... No. What do you say? Every creature. Here's what Paul said. Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, we may present every man before Jesus Christ. Why every creature? I'll tell you why. Because the person you think would never get saved may be the closest to getting saved. And by you sharing the gospel, they might find Christ. Your Bible. Go to your Bible. Huh? What do your early Christians felt like? Boy, I tell you, Paul will bust hell wide open. Yeah, they'll never get saved. Yeah, he's committed the unpardonable sin. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, a lot of blood on his hands when he goes to hell. Yeah. Wait a minute. The rest of the story. Paul's going down the road. His name was Saul then. God drives him to his knees, rubs his face in the dirt, and he got saved. Why? I bet Christians were praying for him. I really believe that. I don't care how wicked, how vile. Don't give up on anybody. There's nobody God cannot save. He is still, my friend, the Almighty God. He is still the Lord God of all flesh. You say it won't do any good. That's not the point. Somebody gave you a chance. Why don't you give them a chance to find Christ as their Savior? Oh, may God stir us. May God stir us. To pick up the phone, to go to somebody's house, tomorrow at work, to ask for boldness and bravery. Amen. And show there is somebody that cares. There's a God in heaven that cares, but we care also. What's your Bible say? Here it is. On some have compassion, making a difference. The context is heaven and hell. You say, preacher, I'm not good at arguing. You don't have to be. That verse says you can love somebody to Christ. Go to them in love. Tell them you need to get saved. Give them the gospel. And my friend, compassion will do what arguing cannot do. It can bring people to Jesus Christ. I read a story years ago about a man in Michigan. The article was quite interesting. Actually, it was a newspaper. The newspaper article said this. It was in the obituary column. He said, I was born and lived my entire life in this town. The people here have been nice and kind and sweet and helpful. He said, but I've lived here my whole life. Not one person ever spoke to me about my soul. Then the man said this, I am deeply concerned about my soul. He said, when I die, I don't know what's happened. I don't know where I'm going to be. He said, it bothers me. It disturbs me. I lose sleep over this thing. But it seemed to bother anybody else. Then he said this. Therefore, I leave my entire estate to the town council. The purpose is they provide food and drink to the council at their council meeting, and there's one stipulation. At every council meeting, they have either a preacher or a priest be present to pray for my soul. It's too late. It's too late. Hear me. I'm not convinced that story had to end that way. Maybe one coworker said, you know, I don't think he's interested, but wait, Jesus said every creature. That man might have got saved. One of the elders said, you know, I never heard him talk about religion, but wait, Jesus said every creature. You know what happened? A bunch of people excused that man in the head. Then obey God and make the effort and just tell him how to get saved. Number three, and I'm through tonight, an admission implored. The man in my text admits something, and you can almost hear him screaming and crying out for help. Look in your Bible. Verse number 6. Attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. I may praise thy name. The righteous shall come up to me about. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Here's what, I want you to see something. Notice how frantically this guy's trying to find out how to get saved. Man, look at your Bible. I'm going to read it to you. Look at your Bible. Verse 1. Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord. Look at verse 2. I poured out my complaint. Verse 3. My spirit was overwhelmed. Verse 4. I looked on my right hand. Verse 5. I cried unto thee. Verse 6. Attend unto my cry. Verse 7, there's a man begging and pleading and crying out. And the result of it is this: nobody cares if I go to hell. Thank God one day somebody cared for me. The dumbest kid in the class, a kid whose home was hell, she cared, a fourth grade teacher. And because of her and what I saw in her life, eventually I got saved. Amen. Who's going to be in heaven because you care? Who? I was preaching in New Jersey. And lady in the church, she was the vice president of the Faber Pencil Company. They have a pencil company in Trenton, New Jersey, and one over in Germany. Week before revival, she had to go to Germany, over there to the main office. And, of course, big-time corporate there. A guy picked her up, a chauffeur, took her to the airport. And then at the airport, she witnessed to him about Jesus Christ. She flew in on Friday. The guy picked her up, figured her back to the home office. And again, she witnessed to him about Jesus Christ and invited him to the revival. He said, okay, I'll come one night. She said, I'm going to keep in contact. Tell me when. She came to the next week was revival. On Sunday night, she came to me, said, preacher, now, I got the chauffeur coming. I'm not sure what night. I said, okay, if he comes, how will I recognize him? She said, don't worry. If he comes, we'll recognize him. I said, okay, I will. Ready? Tuesday night. I'm at the back door shaking hands. Joe came in, her husband came in, and then in came the chauffeur. Ready? He had on a purple muscle shirt. I can tell by looking, nobody here knows what a purple muscle shirt is, that's for sure. But he had a purple muscle shirt, ready? And black leather pants, okay? Now, when the guy was not chauffeuring, around the corner was a gym, he was pumping iron. Ready for this? The guy, I found out, had a 53-inch chest.
Oh, my goodness.
And a 28-inch waist. Now, I've been trying to find an illustration here from somebody in the crowd, okay? I found a number of men here tonight. If you stand on your head, you might be 53 and 28. But anyway, really. And you know what? He was nice. Nice, nice guy. I talked to him. He was polite. He was nice. Him and Joe sat about halfway back on the right. I preached that night, finished preaching. Okay, if you're not sure you're saved, when I pray for you, raise your hand. Okay? Anybody else? All right. Last call. Anybody else? All right. Now, we're going to sing a song. You want to get saved? Come and tell Pastor Juris. You're a Christian, you want to come and pray for yourself, come right ahead, let's stand and sing. Halfway through the first stanza, he turned to Joe, and I said, I know what he was saying, do I know what I need to do? She said something to him real quick. He got in the aisle, come down front, met Pastor Juris, and Pastor Juris is kind of bashful. And Pastor Juris said, "My friend, what did you come down here for?" I love it. I love it. The guy just hollered. He said, "It's Christ I want to see." Man, I'm glad he got that. He got it. He got it. The deacon came up to me in the side room. I hung around down front. The door opened. He came out. I went up to him. I said, "Sir, what happened tonight?" He said, "Mister, in that room tonight, with every fiber of my being, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to live for Him. I want to serve Him." He said, "This is real. This is, He's real. He's real." I said, "Yes, He is." We talked a while, and I said, "Well, I'm happy you come tonight." He said, "I got to tell you something." He said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe someone as sweet and pure and kind and lovely as Joe is to be concerned about somebody as wicked and filthy and vile as I've been. I just can't believe she'd be concerned about me." You know why he got saved? It wasn't great preaching. He got saved because somebody cared.
Amen.
How much do you care? You care enough to risk being laughed at, being called an idiot? You care enough, my friend, to risk being thought strange, to share the gospel? It's worth it. It's worth it. Remember, there's an example. Somebody cared. Radio station back home, WJBC, is a pretty good radio station. Their motto should be the motto of every church in America. Here it is. WJBC. Here it is. Caring and sharing. God help us the next 24 hours to care and share. Bow your head for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Question number one. Are you sure you're going to heaven? You say, "Well, I don't think you can know that." Well, God said you could, and I think God knows more than you know. "These things have I written unto you, you might know," K-N-O-W, "you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life." You become a Christian, not by baptism, church membership, not by anything else. You become a Christian by accepting Christ. Now, can you point to a time and date? You don't go into it. Bible salvation is a time and a place. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You may not know the calendar date, but my friend, I'm convinced you better remember the time you realized you were a sinner and asked Christ to be your Savior. Apart from that, you're believing the devil's lie and a heartbeat from hell. There is no other way except Christ's way. I mean, you're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I belong to this church." And they say, "Yeah, I'm not asking about that." Have you accepted Christ? You say, "I'm 90% sure." No! That's idiotic. You're saying, "I'm 10% sure I'm going to burn in hell forever, therefore I'm not going to risk God help us. God help us." Maybe there's somebody here tonight. Wouldn't surprise me at all. "Preacher, I got doubts. I'm not sure. But I sure am concerned. Thank God for that." If you're not sure, don't let your pride keep you there. It'll damn you. If you're not sure, pastor will be here at the front. I'll tell you forthright with all truth, if you want to get saved, you couldn't find a finer man to come and tell that to than the pastor. "Preacher, I just don't have assurance." Get assurance. Once you crash into hell, it's too late. Get that assurance tonight. Now, I'm going to do a great number of Christians. As I preach tonight, God may have spoke to your heart. First of all, God may have rebuked you. He may have rebuked you because you're the silent witness. Silent witnesses don't get folks saved. "With my mouth will I make known." Faith comes by hearing. My friend, folks get saved when you open your mouth. Instead of talking about a ball team or about a political thing, talk about Christ. That's when folks get saved. We use our mouth to get folks saved. Maybe as I preach tonight, God stirred you because you haven't been doing that. You've been embarrassed. You've been disgraced. Thank God Christ wasn't disgraced and walked off the cross. We'd all be on the way to hell. Maybe as I preach tonight, you got to get this. Maybe as I preach tonight, God tapped you on the shoulder and brought individual right to your mind, and God said, that's the one, go get it. Boy, you say, Brother Mark, I can't do that. Wait, what's your Bible say? I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Instead of sitting there rationalizing, excuse that person to hell, you ought to be here at the altar praying, saying, God, give me boldness, give me character, give me what I need to tell my friend how to get saved. That's the invitation tonight. You want to get saved, tell the preacher. You're a Christian. Yes, I haven't been doing it, but I know I should. You want to come in dedication, consecration, just come and pray on your own. Do it. Maybe your heart's ready for an individual. Never be embarrassed to come and pray for a lost soul. Never. It's better you come to the altar and pray now than bend over their tear at their coffin at the funeral home and shed tears. Plain as I can make it. Forceful as I can make it. What you do tonight may affect somebody forever. If God's thinking to wait on somebody else, I want you to step out and come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to sing. Right now, everybody, just stand on your feet. Stand right up. Come on, stand up. If God's speaking to your heart, come on right now. Step out and come right now. If God's speaking, come on. Good. Good. Amen. Good. Come on. Are there some guys you need to come? Friend, a co-worker, neighbor, friend. We've got two nights left. Two nights we can shake the gates of hell tonight. Come on. Who else? That's good. Thank God tonight. That's it. That's what it takes. Anybody else? You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. God's just not waiting. Your friend is waiting. Your co-worker is waiting. Your hunting buddy is waiting. Come on. Need to come? Come on. Who else? Thank God a number here. But there's room for you. There's room for you. God bless you. That's right. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Amen. Amen and amen. Pastor, you take it. God bless you.
You're here tonight, you're not sure you're saved. You need to take care of that. That's a pretty lousy way to live. That's a scary way to live. That's on what we call thin ice. You're here tonight, you need to get saved. Come on, let's show you from the Word of God. In fact, you know how to get saved. You heard it tonight. It's not it, it's Him. You're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. You need to take care of that. In our church, we keep that water running all the time. Keep it warm. All ready to go. God's speaking about some person at work. Maybe a family member. A friend. God knows your heart. One thing about praying alone, you don't do any lying. You don't do any boasting. You're talking to God. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Find mercy. Time of need. I hope you pray for next two nights. Boy, you'll be inviting folks to come. What a great opportunity to just say, hey, you ought to come hear this preacher preach. He's not long, gets to the point, and he'll tell you some amazing things about the Bible and about God. I hope you pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the things the Holy Spirit has brought to our minds. And Lord, folks that you've brought to our minds. Dear God, help us. Give us boldness. Yes. Apostle Paul started probably, some people say, 141 churches. He was begging people for that they'd pray for his boldness. God, give us boldness. Attract people to us, Lord God. Holy Spirit, do your work. And God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as we go to our separate homes, keep us safe. Lord, I pray for tomorrow that you just give us opportunity after opportunity to witness and to tell others about the saving faith of Jesus Christ. God, now help us as we go to our separate homes. Keep us safe. Be with those that could not be here because of sickness. Those that could not be here because of work. God, I pray you'd bring them tomorrow night. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen.